I am Benoit and I'm an alcoholic. I'm also French, so it's another kind of disease, but I try to live with it pretty well. Basically, this joke has been recycled from your probably for the first minute or so. I'm going to look for my words because it's been a while. I did not share in English. Well, I'll try to do my best. Basically, I'm here to share what my experience of what I've been doing wrong for the first couple of years of my life and what I've been doing right to try to get it right for the last 10. I joined AA in August of 96. At that time, I was 19 years old. When I came here, the real challenge I faced was to fit again. Because all my life, I didn't find I belonged nowhere, actually. But there, I came into the rooms, and I was with a bunch of people that didn't belong anywhere before, too. So, but even if I was the same as you, because I didn't fit there anywhere, I didn't have a sense of fitting anymore, either. I don't believe, for my part, that is what is like the same for each of and every one of us, like where we gather around. It's not how much we drink, how we drink, where we drink. It's the suffering that we had inside. It's like how we lived our lives and how we felt about it. Because when I came into rehab at 19 years old, actually it was 18, it was a week before I turned 19. I did my 19th birthday in rehab. It was not a rehabilitation for me, it was just an habilitation. Because I didn't have the tools or basically how to deal with my emotions. And I had a really, really, really tough time with that. To admit I had trouble with alcohol or the substance was really, really easy. To admit that my life had become unmanageable was pretty hard for me because I never managed it once in my life. Because when you're young, you feel powerful, you feel that the word is not right fit for you. Because I didn't try to fit in. All of my life I've been living it like if it was like somebody else. I was doing the stuff that other people wanted me to do. I was feeling the way others would like me. And desperate, desperate for acceptation and in deeply need of love of each and every one of the people that were surrounding me. Took a while to find my place. But when I did, it felt great. To identify myself a bit, I'm coming from the island of Île Perrot, down west. Lived there for all my life before coming to AA. Coming from a good family, my parents are still together even now, which is a rarity these days. And went to good school. But something I took somewhere a wrong turn. I don't know where exactly. Was it like when I was really, really young or something like just didn't click in my head. That's how I lived it. And unfortunately, two wrong turns does not make it right. And I kept on turning wrong, wrong, wrong. So basically, all my adolescence, I bought the peace of my parents with good grades and lived a parallel life on the side. Started using, started winging out the bars when I was 15. Strip clubs, you name it. And since I had about the shape that I was when, like at 13, I was 6'2", 200 pounds. So, never got problems going to bars. Actually, I was going out with some of my older friends that were 18, and the doorman came to me and says, like, look, I know all your friends are not 18, could you please tell them the police is supposed to come tonight, so I don't want you guys to be in trouble. At 16, I was drinking so much that the bartender by the school knew me by my name and was chit-chatting with him and was drinking like crazy. It all came progressively and never just got there. Since I was big and always believed that it took me more, and I wanted more, by the way. Came up to a point because I was intern, pensionary, somewhere like that. I was sleeping at school. Up to one point when I called my parents in CJEP, saying that I was spending more time at the bar than I was spending studying, to go back home and to travel the distance between El Perro and Montreal. And starting at that point, I was like ready to stop. But I always managed to like to get out of jail free card, always. So didn't get into too much trouble because of my consummation, but I was dying inside. When I was 15, I got caught at school with 16 ounces of rum in my dorm. And they caught me somewhere around 11 o'clock, so the director told me that he was going to call my parents tomorrow morning because, like, he asked me if they were sleeping, and I said, yeah, they are. So he said, we're going to call them tomorrow, and you're going to be expelled. But that night, since I was so damn afraid of what the reaction of my parents would be, and I didn't want to face the consequences of that act, I spent the night sitting out on the balcony, on the window porch of this 18th floor down at Brébeuf where I was studying, just thinking of myself, do I want to live through this? But I don't want to live the consequences. I was dying inside and wanted to die because I didn't know how to deal with the suffering. I wanted to kill the suffering inside me, and the only way which I came about to my 15-year-old brain was like, okay, I'm going to kill myself at the same while anyway, I don't deserve to live. Inside me, I was that fucked up then. Then I tried to, from that point on, just went downhill. Drank more. Got into cocaine at that time, too. it's funny because I started doing cocaine to study more. To start. Because I was partying too much for the rest of the week, rest of the session. When the exam came along, I needed a way to stay up 24/7. And that's what I did for 3 weeks. Studied like my brains out. Got through the exam. Flushed. Crashed. Started again for another session. And it did a job for a while because I never flunked a course or anything. But my last session, I had 5 courses. 4 of them I finished at 60. And the other one, which I never attended straight, got 90. I don't know why. It was sociology or something. But I went like another get out of jail free. And around May of 96, during that time, because Téléthon Jean Lapointe was airing during those time of years, and I started looking at it, and like all the time I wanted to change the channel, but I couldn't, and I was crying the whole time, saying I knew I had a problem, but I just didn't know how to get out of it. Because nobody around me or my immediate family or the people I knew never had a problem with alcohol or drugs or anything like that. It lasted for that weekend. Afterwards, forgot about it. Finished school, started a summer job, tried to stop on my own. I tried to stop cocaine first because I didn't think booze was a problem because everybody else was drinking. So I started drinking more and more and more, not to use cocaine. And every time I had a paycheck went out. My parents had away some money for me into like long-term deposits, stuff like that. And I found out a way when I turned 18 that I could rebuy them without them knowing. So I went to the bank and said, are you sure that they're not going to know? Because they put the money there and says, no, you're 18, you can do whatever you want. Give me. So in that summer, I drank, and I did anything not to live out myself, but I swear each and every time I did it was the last fucking time. And it lasted like that 3 months. I didn't know at that time it was a relapse, but it sure was. Like I was using once every 2 weeks. And every Thursday night, I started and attended on the Sunday. And to one point, on the 18th of August, 96, my parents thought I was like partying a bit over my budget. And they started like pulling out my bank records. And to find out that I made over $7,000 that summer, all went out. They found out that the long-term deposits were bought back and there were no money left. And basically, when I came into rehab, I had 42 cents left. And over that summer, spent like way over what I should do, probably a couple of cars. And when they asked me where the money was, I just could not answer. In my mind, I said, like, coke and booze. But the problem is, like, when I thought of the answer, I said it out loud. And 24 hours later, I was in rehab. So when I arrived in rehab, I was like the kid who was, like, coming out to summer camp with his two valise. Trunks, whatever. Suitcase. Easy. So I was really disconnected. Took around like 2-3 weeks just to replug with the reality of like, okay, I'm not there to have good grades. I'm not there to buy anything out. I'm not there for my parents. I'm not there for whoever. And like afterwards, it's not going to be a quick fix and I'm going to get out and it's going to be like another get out of jail free. So I decided to look like under the 13,000 masks that I have put on during those years. what really was under. And I tried to scratch and scratch and scratch. And I was not able to see who I really was. If somebody asked me who I was, what I liked, I could not answer those questions. I'd become somebody who just liked to drink, which his life was drinking, period. And I had about no self-esteem, no nothing about who I was. So I did what they suggested me. I did the whole rehab with 7 weeks. And tried to survive the disease. Because I had no fucking clue how to deal with an emotion. I couldn't name them all. But how to deal with them, I couldn't. And I started to do the suggestions, do the steps, at least read them. Because at the beginning I was like trying to understand it, try to study them, try to know them by heart. At one point I think I had 3 months of absence, and I could tell in my head the whole meeting from start to end. All the lectures, all the things that the secretary would say. But that was, I was framed up like that. I knew the steps. I didn't understand them. I didn't live them. I didn't live the program. I just knew it. I knew the words. I didn't know basically what was behind them. Then started doing coffee. I did a meeting on the Wednesday. I did the coffee there for over 9 months. I was opening the rooms, and I think that's what saved me. Because each and every time I wanted to go and out and drink, I said, I cannot do it because like the meeting on Wednesday is like 120 people. It was at the Oratoire Saint-Joseph. And I said, there's not going to be a meeting there if I don't go there and I don't open up the rooms. I was too self-centered or too crazy to know that there were another set of keys somewhere to open up the damn room. But that what kept me going, at least for the first 9 months. And afterwards, I met some people there that became my friends. Started doing after meetings, pre-meetings, business meetings, trying to get involved. And after 9 months of sobriety, of breathing, and like trying to see other people, like, and trying to fit in, because at that time I was 19 years old, I was surrounded by people that, like, the youngest other people in the room was like about 30. And boy was he old. I had people of 60 looking at me and says, oh boy, you're lucky. I was looking back at them and says, like, lucky how? I'm here. Says, all my life I will not be able to drink because I have a disease. And I had other like people that said to me, says, are you sure you're an alcoholic? Because I drank, you know. And at that time I was really, really arrogant. So it's like I drank, but I didn't spill any, so that's why I'm here before you. And that, after one point I got really, really sick and tired of like all the precast phrases, all the things that people were saying to me, says, okay, it works if you work it, and all those things. And I was asking questions, says, why is it made like this, with like how it's done, and like the steps, and says, like, why is it working like this? And I wanted to change everything. So So somebody had the wise decision of saying, go change something, get involved. And that's where my life changed. Definitely. I got involved because I didn't like how the meeting was run. I didn't like because some people were talking in the back. I was talking in the back too, but some of the other people were doing and like was getting on my nerves, and I wanted to change everything. I wanted to do it my way. But beside that, instead of that, by getting involved, I got into the program. Like, I wanted to change things. People says, like, it's not according to the traditions. And, like, not to get answer back that, says, I'm going to know what the traditions are, and I'm going to be able to answer back. And my goal, when I got into the tradition, was, like, I want to know the stuff so I won't get stumped. And that's how I got the tradition. Afterwards, reading them, and trying to understand them and what was in them, I found a sponsor, which was like trickier than I was, and he made me understand the whole program. And up to one point, I was like surfing on the program and what it was, and he explained it like very, very well in a few words. On the French side, we have like a tendency to complicate everything and like forget the basic and being center because we're a bit more Latin and a bit more self-focused. And he said to me, the traditions are simple. They're a way to, so you can start to live with others. The steps are to start work, to start living with you. And the concepts are just there to glue everything up together so everything doesn't fall apart. And by understanding that, I start using the program because it was working for me. I was a bit like Thomas who had needed proof. Needed to touch and feel, and then I started to get involved in the Young People Conference. Met people there, started making friends and people that you really could count on. And that, to that point, when I got involved in the Young People Conference, it had a debt of $18,000 after a conference it did at Hotel du Parc. And like, it was like tailor-made for me because like the calling was to save the Young People Conference. So it's really good for humility. And we did. And we had, like, fun like hell. That year, didn't know too much of what I was doing. Got involved as treasurer. At that point, I didn't know how to manage my own finance. And we reimbursed the debt that year. We set up another conference. And we finished the year at zero, bottom line. And I had the fun of my life. That year I started back school at the HSA, which is business school at university. Started a relationship. Was working full time. And was involved at the conference. And that's about the time where I found myself. Yes, it was like probably living at 200 miles an hour, but I was full. The implication, the emotional life, my professional life. And I found a bit more of who I was by doing. Not by sitting there and trying to understand like I've been doing all my life. And when I started, people said, whatever you do, don't drink. And I use that very much. But if you're new, I would add something. Whatever you do, don't drink, but don't do anything. Don't do whatever you want, because everything has consequences over it. But that's life. I'm still involved in the Young People Conference after 10 years because it brought me, I found my place there too. I've done about every committee there's possibly to do and got involved with other groups and other part of service. And when you once you understand how AA works, you can understand the meaning of a meeting, just a small little group, and what its importance is, and what is the importance of one member passing it on to another. I learned in AA that you could be full of joy and not drink. I learned that you could be somebody without drinking. And life existed outside a bar. And basically, I've learned to live with myself and knowing myself. I think I live about all the promises that there is in the big book. Not all at the same time, sometimes only once, one at once. And I can definitely say that I'm happy. And when I've looked back to what I've accomplished with the program, 10 years ago somebody would have said that, I would not have believed it. I finished my bachelor degree, started a job in a field which I love, bought the company for which I started, got fucked up with my partner, sold it, started another one, and I lived all that without drinking. There have been difficult times, and right now, professionally, I'm happy where I am. I'm my own boss, so it helps a lot. But at 29, I didn't think all that was possible. When I was 2 years sober, I met my wife, to-be, which was a member too. Been with her in May, it's going to be 8 years. I have two beautiful boys, one which is 8 months, one which is going to be 5 next week. Got married. Got a wonderful relationship with my parents, which I didn't thought was possible. A wonderful relationship with my brother, which once I wanted to kill badly. Almost tried, almost worked. When I was 5, I smashed his head with a baseball bat, so that's about where it started to go bad. Damn, that thing is big. And I've been living with my children a relationship, a true one. And I had them in my sober years. So the first coming to birth lasted 36 hours, which ended up in a C-section. Second one lasted an hour, was a C-section, which was planned, so that was good. And I lived amazing emotions. I lived them. I didn't want to run away from them. I didn't want to hide them. I didn't want to bury deep inside of them. And the big difference now is that I'm trying to live one emotion at once, at the same time, just once. And being right here, right now, is the most important thing for me. And some wise guy told me, during the thing is that he's now dead, is that one of the people I started to get involved in AA passed away last year. And the best advice he gave me is that live your life to have the less regret possible. Don't do anything that you're going to wake up one day and says, I wish I'd done things differently. And that has been serving me as well as the program has been serving my life, the most good in my life. And that came from his grandfather that at 80 when he died, when he passed away before, he got with him, his name was Jean-Louis, and he said for about like 12 hours, all the things that he wished he had done. And I want that part for my life to last about a minute or so when I die. It's true that sometimes I don't have all the money to do all the things I wish. But I don't have all the time to do all the things I wish. But I do try the best with what I have. And that is what is really important for me. I would lie to you that the last 10 years have always been pink, full of roses and all that. There's been some hard times, hell of hard times. Like when your child goes to the hospital and you don't know if he's going to come out or not when he's about 3 months old. Almost got separated with my wife. All those difficult things that test you, that you say that boy, I wish I was somewhere else, or I didn't want to live through all those bad emotions, but I did. But with the help of the program and the help of some good members, friends, I passed through them. And I think that's what is the most important. Because there's still going to be good times, there's still going to be bad times. And you will always need help, at least I will. Because I think people that surround me are the most valuable things. Because without those people, I wouldn't be here to talk with you. Because me, when I started AA, I didn't want to go back to drink. I wanted to edit my life. And what clicked in my head is like around when I was around 6 months. One of my good friends, which I did rehab with, which was a Swiss girl that was coming here to do rehab because in Swiss they say that she was like irrecoverable. And her father sent her here because he had lots of money but not too much time to get fixed, basically. That's what he said. And she did about 2 years. She was about my age. She was 20 at that time. And she relapsed on heroin around Christmas of 96. And on September 5th, she committed suicide inside the rehab center. It took me that for me to realize I didn't want to die. I just didn't want to live that way. It took me this to realize that what I wanted was not to die. And from that point, when I realized that, I started to change. And I started to live and choose to live and do the best out of it. And basically, I think the human being doesn't change because he wants to, nor because he has the deeply calling to change. He changes because he has no choice. Either because you don't want to live like that anymore, or you don't want to suffer like that anymore, or you just cannot take it anymore, you will change. It's like when you're a kid, you're going to eat as many chocolate as you can until your liver is going to pop out or your teeth are going to fall out. Because you don't understand, or you get hit on the hand so many damn times that you don't want it anymore, you're going to stop. It's like when you're a man, you don't take down the toilet seat until your wife say, "I'm going to leave if you don't do it." Me, from my point, I'm not at that point anymore. Near, I'm still leaving it up. But it's that simple. And when I had rough times, a whole member came up to me and says, "Is it written anywhere that somebody ever told you it was going to be easy?" And I can definitely say it because I researched the big book, and nowhere in this it says it's going to be easy. Well, it says it's going to be tough. Tough like hell. But it's makeable because some others have done it. But I'm very, very grateful today. I'm not too grateful of having that disease that we all have. Because if I could have done it other ways, I could probably reprogram myself not to have it. Or resend myself to the factory for fabrication defect or something like that. But I'm grateful I found that program to live with it though. I think now there's no other way that I would know myself that much without that program. And I would not, definitely not have all the relationship that I have around me to support me. With members or non-members. Because after a couple of years, I found out there was a life outside the meetings too. And that was one of the tough parts. Because when you're always in relationship with members, they always have a program and you say, "Okay, they're sick, okay. We can work something out and we're going to talk to our sponsor and we're going to feel better afterwards." But when you're meeting with your clients, which doesn't have a clue what an A meeting is, and you just want to kill him because he's being a jackass, living with others to learn how to, without burying yourself under the table or shutting up and respecting yourself, I think, for me, that's priceless. Because to shut up and to shut down the doors and turn off the valve of the emotion and just try to work with the brain, it works for a couple of years. Up to one point, you just say, "I cannot take it anymore." And for me, that's probably the most dangerous thing, too, is like to take that valve and shut it. Because then I become like full of bad emotions, and you get bitter. Mm. You get closed. You don't call as often the people that you love. You don't call your sponsor, you don't call your sponsees, because you're self-centered and self-absorbed. And for me, that's my biggest threat. Because it happened to me before. And all the others, compulsion that there is, could be women, could be computer, could be TV, could be anything, which blocks me from being who I am, which puts the switch to off of the emotion, like either let your hormones take over or let the head take over. Because for me, the key of being happy with me is to have the emotional part, the spiritual part, and the intellectual part connected. By seeing the spiritual part, I think I did not talk about God once. I'm not too fond about talking about God in my share. Probably because for me, it was what shut the door at the beginning a lot. Because it was not clicking in my head. Because I was not understanding the spiritual gap that there was inside of me. And I was not too fond with religion either. But what I can tell you is that it is really important to find a spiritual source to help you in this journey. Because I found for me that that program is more a spiritual journey than anything else. Just to go deep, deep, deep inside of you into a path that you never wanted to take before. And to go see who you really are. What are your real demons? What are your real weaknesses? And for me, that was the scariest part. And to let go on all the things that were bad for me, but I know I wanted them, but like sex and stuff like that. Because for me, spirituality is like the cement of this program, what keeps everything together. If you're a newcomer and you just arrived here, probably there's some part that you didn't understand too much. Don't worry, most of the people that are English here didn't understand some parts either, because I didn't probably communicate them well enough. But the key element for me was to do meetings, to do meetings, to do meetings, and to get involved. And whatever the reason you start doing the meetings or start getting involved, that's not important. As long as you keep doing meetings and keep getting involved for you. And what I wish you deeply today is to find the real you, whoever it may be. Because for me, that was the most important thing. And when you find the real you, open up your arms and welcome him. My name is Ben, and I'm an alcoholic. Thank you.
No, I don't wait now.